Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Happy Thursday to you all. It's the one and the only, the incredible and the powerful, but not edible, William Powell, the undisputed king of DC media, also known as Will the Actor, also known as WTP, also known as simply Will. I hope all my fellow actors out there are doing well and keeping busy. Yours truly has a part in a play called Paul Gonzalez on the Road, which is about the legendary saxophonist for Duke Ellington, Mr. Paul Gonzalez. It's part of the Capital Fringe Festival, and it goes up July 21st. Find it under DC Capital Fringe Festival. Let me also remind you that today's episode is brought to you by DC Actors Examiner, most easily found by Googling DC Actors Examiner, where you'll find lots of acting tips. Tonight, my guest is renowned character actor Delaney Williams, a.k.a. Bill Delaney, who has appeared on such shows as HBO's The Wire as Homicide Sergeant Jay Landsman, and shows like Homicide: Life on the Street, The District, HBO's The Corner. He was also my on-camera coach at DC's Theater Lab some years ago. Locally on stage, he was in Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge, in Shakespeare Theater's Henry IV. And so, without further ado, I will bring on Delaney Williams. Hey, Bill, what's up, man? Hello? Bill? I don't hear him coming through here. We're having technical difficulties right here. I thought he dropped. I don't know what quite happened there, but we will try again. If once we fail, we try again here, and let's see if I can dial him up. But he's got a very, very good career going here in D.C., and he's got a new class coming up called An Approach for Actors, which is a very interesting class that he's going to come on and talk about tonight. So let me see if I can go ahead and bring him on again. And let's see. It looks like he has recalled. He has redialed. One does never see. Here we go. Hello. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Will. How are you?
All right, man. You kind of dropped off there a minute. How you doing? How's everything?
Yeah, I called in and I couldn't hear you. Could you hear me?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you at all.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear you either, so I figured, let me try this again. There we are.
Yeah, okay. I was just about to call you. I was just kind of stalling for time there. So, I was just bragging on you. I was just talking about your class. You got this new class. Tell us about your class, man.
As a matter of fact, that's where I'm coming from right now. I just finished up an exhilarating 2 hours with some fabulous students. Thursday night is exciting already. I'm just so proud.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's very, very, very cool. And especially when you can see, you know, the improvement from in the 2 hours, from the time we start to the time we had a ball. Yeah, it's called An Approach for Acting. It's Monday nights, Thursday nights, and Saturday afternoons in Tacoma Park, Tacoma, D.C. And we're just getting underway, and it's thrilling, actually.
Wow, wow. What's some of the things you've seen in class that really excited you?
Well, you know what it is? It's you can find it at www.anapproachforactors.com, and you get all the information there and the classes and so forth and when they are. And you can also find out what it's about. And what is the question is, you know, what's exciting about it, I guess, is to me is seeing the light go on for the student, you know, when I can take out some of the learning curves from someone who's trying to do this work. It's really a class about not getting the job, but about doing the work. It's about the creativity and the art of the actor. And so it's kind of thrilling when I can convey what it is I do and refine what they do, bring it all together, and, you know, we've got ourselves. You know, you see, you know, the light go on in someone's eyes where they go, oh, I see. It doesn't have to be done that way. It can be done this way. Or I don't have to worry about that so much. I can take it this other place. We're working on making, you know, their performances more compelling, more interesting, more thoughtful, more honest and truthful, more germane to what the story is they're trying to tell. And, you know, for me, there's nothing better than that. So, and we used that several times tonight. It's kind of thrilling. So.
That's fantastic. So what's some ways that your teaching techniques differ from, say, you know, the methods or some of the other coaches that are out there?
Well, I have to say, people have been asking me, why are you putting so much time and effort into these classes? I mean, your work as an actor. And I'm like, well, you know, it's true. I work as an actor mostly, but I love doing this part of it. And part of it is that I struggle, as much as I work and as much as I've accomplished already, I struggle with the very same things almost every single time I go into audition, rehearse, perform. Same things that any actor is struggling with. And so for me, the difference in our class is we're not teaching you a method. We're not teaching you a system. What we're doing is we're refining your approach, and it's an ongoing class. It's not one of these things where 6 weeks later you walk away and hopefully you take something from it, but there's no, you know, you fall back. It's ongoing. We made it so reasonable and so flexible that it's kind of like going to the gym and working out. You know?
Right.
That's kind of the way I envision it. You stay open to the possibilities and you work on the new things you're working on. Maybe you prep an audition this week because you have one. And we do individual coaching for that as well, or at least I do after each class. There are sessions for that. So that's really the difference. The difference is for me, is that it's not some specific program. All that stuff comes up. We've already gone through some Meisner stuff. We've already gone through some, just this week in the classes so far, some Mamet and Macy and Practical Aesthetics. We touch on those things that people already know and that I'm, you know, well-versed in already, and we use what is useful to the individual and we throw out what's not. We try and get to a place where they start from a place of relaxation where it's the actor tension is gone and it's only the character tension we're dealing with, a place where they're unselfconscious about talking about being that character, because we're seeing things that, you know, that aren't those people. Preparing in such a way that we're prepared to do what we do and then forgetting that stuff and just doing it so that the person watching, the producer, the director, the audience member, whoever it might be, whoever your audience is, watching you on screen or on stage, it buys into it. They are compelled. They are interested. They see thoughtful, provoking work going on. And they kind of lose themselves in it. That's, you know, for me, that's the ultimate goal. If you can get that person to lose themselves into the story, into what you're conveying, then forget that it's make-believe, you know.
That's easier said than done. Yeah, and that brings up.
It's an ongoing work. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to say.
Yeah, it brings up. You mentioned losing themselves in the part of moving, forgetting that it's make believe. Because one of the things that you hear people say is, "Don't let me catch you acting."
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole thing about don't act. There's even a book out there, Howard Guskin. How Not to Act, I think the title is.
It's something like that,
so what's some ways you get your students to reach that point?
It's funny. It's kind of the reason I actually do the class in the end is that I've been through all of these different processes. I have all of these things that get in my way when I do it, and I've lived through the process of getting out of my way. And I think that's basically what we're trying to do. And what I'm trying to convey is that in order for us not to see you acting, you have to get out of your way. You have to find a way. And each individual is different in how they can approach that. I guess the answer to the question is, you know, it depends on what the issues are that that individual actor is dealing with. And that's really kind of why, for me, it's never worked a particular method or a particular system, but I can take what's useful from any number of different places, from people I watch working, and say, oh, well, that would be useful to me to get to where I want to go, to get to that place where, oh, the light turns on for me as well, you know.
Wow, that's very interesting. In your opinion, how should actors approach TV auditions as opposed to theater?
How should they approach TV auditions as opposed to theater auditions?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that there's a difference in terms of the acting. There's a difference in terms of perhaps what they're looking for. And
okay.
you can't guess what they're looking for. Sometimes I get asked the question about what is the difference in, not necessarily in auditions, but in when you're actually doing the work. And there is something to be said for there's a different scale when you're working in film and television versus on the stage. Of course, in film and television, you're working in front of a camera and you're working maybe a foot from the other actor, and the camera will see whatever's going on. You don't have to project it to a house of 600 or 800 or 1,000 people. You don't have to be heard in the back row. So there is some of that, and that's something you learn in actually doing it. But the actual work of the actor, the craft of the actor, remains the same. In terms of auditioning for the different roles, you know, you can never guess what they're looking for. I actually was tell a couple of stories on myself this evening about, you know, going into auditions for different projects and trying to guess what the person on the other side of the table wanted from me, as opposed to bringing what I bring and giving them the opportunity to see, this is what I bring. And you know, oftentimes the best work I've ever gotten, the best jobs I've ever landed, the best work I've ever done, has been where maybe I wasn't what they were looking for when I walked into the room, but when I did the audition, it gave them an opportunity, and it's been said to me many times, you know, I never thought about it that way when I wrote it, or when I was working on and directing this piece and figuring out how it was going to go. You know, I never thought, but when you brought that in, I thought, oh, that's an interesting way to go with that. And, you know, for me, that's fulfilling not only because you work, you brought something that they'd be interested in using and in hiring you for, but also because you've explored the creative part of the art, which is why you do it. That's why I do it. You know?
It's the creative part of it. It's really the love of the craft, I think, and that's really that's really where it starts.
Yeah.
Talk about your role in The Wire. How did you get the role in The Wire?
Actually, that's a very kind of cool and convoluted story. Great casting director in Baltimore, Pat Moran. If you are in the D.C. Baltimore area, you need to know Pat Moran. She handles a lot of principal casting, which is the speaking roles for television and film. And she had called me in and for a miniseries that I didn't know anything about. It was called The Corner. And it was a small role, and I ended up booking that job for The Corner, and it happened to be the same producers and creators, David Simon and Bob Colesbury, in particular, who turned around after we shot that miniseries in Baltimore, and it won the Emmys for Best Miniseries and Best Writing and Best Directing, and it was a big hit for HBO. They turned around a couple of years later and were casting The Wire. And I actually got a call back from Pat Moran because they specifically requested me to come in and read for that role of that I played, Sergeant Chad Lansman, for 5 glorious years. It was a great, great show. So that's how I got that job. It was actually from another job. And, of course, I had worked. Pat Moran had been the casting director previously on Homicide, an NBC series that had shot in Baltimore for probably 10 years. No, I think it was 8 years or so. Played 8 seasons, and I had been hired through Pat's office to play a principal role in the final season of Homicide when it aired. So that's kind of the way that came. It was just a confluence of events, not anything you could direct yourself to doing, but you know, one thing leads to another, and you know, often does. So.
Well, it's like I tell people, if you do good work, good things tend to happen. You just kind of create your own luck.
Well, that's the way, you know, that's 100% of the deal for me. That's kind of what an approach for actors is about for me. It's, you know, a lot of people can tell you, this is what your headshot should look like. This is what you should put on your resume. This is how you should approach the audition and get the audition. And for me, the most important thing you can do is the creative aspect of it. And you know, when you're actually doing the job, you let the director direct the show. You let the DP, the cinematographer, shoot the shot. Let them capture. They have their jobs to do. You worry about creating that person. And that's what we work on in Approach for Actors. Is creating, helping you create that person every single time, getting out of your way so that you can.
Right on.
Yeah.
So talk about A View from the Bridge, Arthur Miller.
A View from the Bridge. What can I say about A View from the Bridge? Well, I did that play, Eddie Carbone, the lead in that play at Arena Stage about it's 2 or 3 years ago. And it's absolutely, without a doubt, the greatest job I ever had. It's most enjoyable. It was in terms of the art of it, and another one of those things where I was probably not the first choice of many people to play the role involved. But fortunately, I had a director who could see, Dan Aukin, who's a brilliant, brilliant director, stage director, and he has a play up at Lincoln Center right now that's running. It's very good. I get a chance to see it. I think it's still open. I get a call, Dan. Anyway, he could see past that I wasn't necessarily the obvious choice, but that I had a take on it that was interesting and compelling, that was a bit more fair. I think that play is given short shrift. I think if you read it and see most productions of it, you will think, well, he's just an ogre and a pedophile. It's about a man who's raised his daughter, who's not actually his daughter, it's his wife's niece, so he's not blood related to her, and he kind of gets confused, and he becomes this person who is obsessed with his daughter, and of course there are other storylines woven in, but that's, I think, the central storyline. And then two more cousins of his wife come to live in their house. And one of them becomes romantically involved with the daughter, and it causes lots and lots of problems. So if you look at that play and you look at that role and you go, well, he's just an evil human being, and you play just the evil human being, and if you direct the play to be about this horrible human being, then you're doing it a disservice. And when you step back a second and you look at it and you say, well, why is this? What has this person gone through that puts him in this place? How does he feel about what's going on that would, necessitate him to be this other person that he wouldn't necessarily be? And if you can, you know, I guess it comes down to, if you can expose the humanity of that human being, and in the end, get the people who are watching to know, okay, this isn't something malicious that he's trying to do. it's something that's, in particular in that play, it's something that's out of his control. He really doesn't have much of a say as to, and it's, you know, it's, you know, for me it was easy to get into because it's not politically correct to talk about the things that a man at that time wasn't allowed to do. But my way into that role was he didn't have the choices that his wife did, even though her choices were limited because she was a woman at the time. His choices were limited because he didn't have the options that she did. And it was the wake-up moment for me that he didn't have the choice to run a home and be a housemaker. He had to go out and make a living. And his life was made for him. And it all fell forward from there. I know this is kind of obtuse thinking, but that was my way in. And I could see the humanity of the man and what he might have gone through to get him to a place where, you know, he felt like he didn't have these other choices. And why shouldn't he have these choices that other people don't have? I have to say, though, it was a fabulous experience, and I think a really, really good production of a good play. A play that deserves it. Arthur Miller is a brilliant playwright.
Oh, yes, I agree with that. Yeah, and you don't want to play characters just one note. I mean, that's the thing. That's really not a place you want to be. Like you say, you want to find, you know, look at those choices he made and those circumstances he found himself in to reach that point. And, Yeah, you really want to stay away from just playing a character that's just one note, just sort of flat. It's just really, really does the audience a disservice. But it's good that you're able to bring humanity to it.
I agree 100%. I think that's why that play gets short shrift sometimes, because he is boxed into a corner oftentimes by our perceptions of who people can be. Another thing that we work on at An Approach for Actors is, you know, there are other choices you can make than what's expected of you. And before you naysay doing something a particular way, try it. You've got to get up on its feet and try it. You have to dare to fail. And even if it's not going to be that way all the way throughout, the choices that you make when you're exploring and trying, it will inform what you do. It will inform maybe even just one word of what you do, or one phrase, or one sentence, or one line. But it will inform it, because you will have tried that option and thrown most of it out, but you will have found maybe a little jewel. Okay, he is, you know, people are people. They think different things at different times. And so can this person that I'm playing. So.
Well, okay, so we're getting down to about 5 minutes. Let's talk about Law and Order.
All right.
There were two Law and Order franchises you were part of. How'd you get involved in that?
I think I did Law and Order Criminal Intent back in the day a little bit. That was a while ago. And then I was fortunate enough.
SVU?
Yes. I started working on SVU about 2 or 3 years ago. David Platt, who was a director on an episode of The Wire, I think he had remembered me. He actually didn't hire me for my first SVU. It was one of the other executive producers there, Peter Leto. And they have, I guess, a sort of a stable of defense attorneys that come and go on the show and lose constantly to the stars on the show. it's a thankless job. You go in and you the character is to represent the, you know, the worst people who have committed the worst crimes, and then to go in and to lose badly to the stars of the show, which is, you know, that's what the show's about. So, but it's a ball, and the people are great, and the stories are always interesting, and, you know, nobody's better. Everybody there is really good. Mariska's a doll to work with. She's just wonderful. And Chris Maloney, too. And now Danny Pino. Danny Pino's on the show. And I had worked with him on Cold Case a few years back. And they're just great people to work with. So that's never a problem. And the show is interesting and fun to watch. You know what you're getting when you're watching the show. So I guess your question was, how did I get to, Peter Leto hired me to play one of those attorneys And then David Platt brought me back for another episode with Sharon Stone. We had a big courtroom battle, which was a lot of fun. And and then I guess I did another one earlier this year. So they bring me back every once in a while when my schedule is available and their schedule is available. When they're looking for one of their stable of defense attorneys. So it's a great job, great people, and a good show. I'm very happy and it's tons of fun. So look for more.
Fantastic.
The great news is they got picked up for another season. So I expect. Hopefully, we'll see John Buchanan, which is the character I play on the show again in the coming season, at least a couple more times.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill, well, we're down to about 2 minutes. So that 2 minutes, somewhere in there, I want you to be able to plug your show, your class one more time.
Okay, great.
And could you also just quickly throw in this, how you got into acting?
Sure. Well, let's start with the plug. www.anapproachforactors.com. That's our website. You can also find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anapproachforactors. Let's see. How did I get into the business? It's funny. I think a long, long time ago, I did a show with the Rec Center back when I was a young kid and growing up in Tunnel Park, Maryland. But actually, it was one of the things my father kind of got me into. He was doing some community theater back in the day. And I wanted to know where he was going every night. And he took me with him one time to an audition he was going on in Georgetown for a community theater. And while I was there, I read one of the parts for the director of one of the kids in the show. I was 10, 11, 12 at the time. And I ended up getting cast, and my father ended up not getting cast. So
I don't know. It happens sometimes.
and it all, I worked in high school. I caught the bug at that point, I guess you could say.
Wow. And the rest, they say, is history.
It is history. And it's the future too, and it's been a great career to this point, and an Approach for Actors is just the next great step. I'll be working both as an actor and as a teacher every day, so I can be
Bill, it's been a pleasure, man. I really thank you for coming on. We're definitely gonna have you on again, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. I really appreciate you having me.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Sure. Okay, well. Thanks for coming on again, and have a great night, man.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.